Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana, welcomes you to the Marrow of the Message. This message was preached on March 31st, 2013, Resurrection Sunday. And the title of the message is, The Resurrection Changes Everything. In John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus was speaking to a grieving Martha whose brother had died. And Martha had just made the statement of faith, I believe that he'll rise again at the resurrection. The resurrection she believed in was a general resurrection. She knew that things would not remain in their corrupt form, that there would be some sort of a renewal, a resurrection of sorts. But Jesus proclaimed to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? He is the resurrection and the life. I think that's very important for us to understand. Now, that was his promise. Let's see the reality in Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 6. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who is crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? For this news, I think it's so interesting to see, for such profound news, the news that changed everything, the angel kept his announcement very, very brief. Just like Jesus promised, I am the resurrection. Very simple. The angel announces, he is risen. See where they laid him. He is risen. He is not here. He who claimed to be the resurrection and the life is risen. Risen from the dead, resurrected from the dead. And this is the message preached in every corner of the world. Since Jesus raised from the dead, the message has gone forth to all the parts of the world, and it's a blessing to hear it. It's the greatest news the world has ever received. The angels were the first to declare this good news, the announcement that Jesus has raised from the dead. The angels declared to the women. And the women then declared to the disciples, as we see throughout the gospel narratives. And the disciples then, when they believed and they saw Jesus and believed, they too took the message to every corner of the earth. And here in 2013, the message of the gospel is still going into every corner of the earth, into places where the gospel has never been heard, where the name of Jesus Christ has never been mentioned. Unreached people groups, and there are men and women and children that are risking their all to proclaim one message. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. The message has gone forth through the centuries under the weight of intense persecution. And each and every time the church has entered into a season of persecution, and friends, right now across the world, there are Christians that are being persecuted for this one declaration, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. The reason it's so controversial is because we are proclaiming on behalf of a sovereign king that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if he is Lord, then every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, and men will not have him Lord over them. Jeff Evans, the brother in our local fellowship, keeps track of the persecuted church, and he has shared insight with us before that in the 20th century, and I suppose it'll be true for the 21st century, but in the 20th century, more Christians have been murdered, martyred, and killed than all the centuries prior to that combined. But they died believing and proclaiming that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. and Jesus Christ is King. Why? Because the resurrection changes everything. Now, the resurrection proves at least two things, and they're pretty simple. One, Christ died. He had to die in order to be resurrected. You see, over the heresy that has come into the church and been proclaimed in the world as well, is that Jesus Christ didn't die. He almost died. People try to explain it away, but the resurrection proves that Christ died. And he not only just died, he died on a cross. The cross is central to the gospel because it was through his death that God propitiated sinners. Christ propitiated God, rather. You see, when Christ died on the cross, it was not as a criminal, although the world looked at him as a criminal. It was the sinless Christ dying for sinners, his people. The people loved of God and chosen by him. And God was propitiated. Jesus Christ on the cross satisfied the justice of God. The justice of God said this, "The soul who sins shall die." The penalty for sin is death. And Jesus Christ suffered death. And through faith in him, his death counts as our death. The punishment that was due us was put upon him. Our iniquities were placed upon him. And his death is the satisfaction of God's justice on our behalf. He also turned away the wrath of God. God's hand was against and is against sinners. His wrath, his fury poured out on sinners. Why? Because God is a holy God. And in order for God to be satisfied, there must have been one who satisfied all righteousness and fulfilled the righteousness of God, being perfectly holy, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, whose sin sacrifice completely and in every way satisfied God. So Jesus propitiated God on the cross, and as a result of this, God justified sinners. Because Christ's sacrifice was acceptable, satisfying the holiness and righteousness of God, God justified sinners. That is, he made them right before him. How? By crediting Christ's righteousness to that one who would believe in him. The people of God, loved of God before the foundation of the world. And then as a result of all this, Jesus' act on the cross, at the same time he propitiated God and God justifies sinners, his blood shed was a redemptive act. His blood purchased men for God. He redeemed us. We were sold as slaves into sin, slaves to sin, and the blood of Jesus Christ bought us back. When we say that, we're saying he redeemed a people that had fallen and had become corrupted, whose minds were at enmity with God, bought us and brought us into peace with God, reconciling us through the redemption that came by his blood. Jesus died in place of sinners, and through faith in his blood, we are made right with God. That's the first reason why the resurrection, that is the first thing the resurrection proves. Second, the resurrection assures us of a future that transcends our present suffering. Stated a more simple way, and I think a more profound way, is this. Christ's resurrection brings the future hope into present living. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul said, "For our light and momentary troubles are working for us, or achieving for us, a glory that far outweighs them all." How could he possibly say that? How could Paul have that confidence that all the suffering in the now was well worth it? He said, because there each suffering, each trial is working, achieving for us a glory, a future glory that far outweighs the present suffering. Looking at a future hope brought peace, comfort, and reason and benefit through the suffering of the present. Christ's life assures us of new life. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, verse 4. I think it's a wonder. I know it's a wonderful verse to read. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, Paul writes to these Roman believers. He writes this: "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And that new life is newness now. It's a resurrection power that impacts the now, impacts the immediate, impacts our present. And so the resurrection assures us of a future that transcends our present suffering. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ that changes everything for all who believe in him. For example, think of situations in life that are extremely difficult. And think of how the resurrection, a resurrection hope, brings the power of his resurrection into the present. Think how hard it is to face suffering. Think of suffering in your own life, or disease, or disability, or divorce, or depression, loneliness, anxiety, failure, and on and on and on. And you're under the weight of these things. It's ordinary living. This is what ordinary life is all about. It's what it is, the product of living in a fallen world. And think how hard that is. Why is it hard? Why is it hard to resist the kind of cravings, inward cravings, inside cravings that eat at our souls from the inside out? Those cravings that steal your life, steal time, bring regret, and leave you empty. Why is it so hard to resist these? Why does the thought of your death, why does the thought of my own death grip us so often with fear? Or why does the death of a loved one hurt so bad? Why do tragedies just rock our world? Well, if there's no sure hope, or if we lose sight of a future hope of a resurrection, and we lose sight of this certainty, there's no present strength or no present help in the resurrection. So I would want us to think in terms of this. The gospel of Jesus Christ assures or brings a future resurrection hope into the present. These very things we struggle with, the very things that are so hard, if we would keep hold and take hold of a resurrection hope and pray God the Holy Spirit to bring that hope into a present reality, we would find strength for one more day through the Spirit. Because if there is no certainty of a resurrection, many people listening today, just as there are around the world, there are people that would hear this and say, I have no resurrection hope. Truly, then, there's no reason for anything. Everything just becomes these general lessons in life, and nothing matters. It becomes the epitome of the existentialist with no hope. If there's no sure foundation, no true newness of life, where there is no Christ who has risen, all life is vanity. See, that future hope brought into the present is what Paul was talking about in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. He says, I want to know the power of the resurrection. He wanted to live with that the reality of the future hope of a resurrection. He wanted that to impact the present. And friends, a resurrected Christ gives a hope. And we all seek the Lord. If you lack that hope today, and there's maybe an area in your life, you cry out, God, please bring that hope of the resurrection and the power of that resurrection into my present circumstance. And friends, where there's a dawning of hope, where there is, as though it may be in your own heart, picture the sun rising in the east early in the morning, clouds hanging low to the ground far in the distance. You catch just that gleam of the sunrise, just a glimpse of the bright, shining, piercing light, that light piercing into the darkness, even just a sliver. And where there's a dawning of hope and trust in a risen Christ, even Jesus, there is a future, a glory, a worth to be gained, even in a hard life and even in death. I think of my friend Gary Walker. We participated in a memorial service the other day, and 38 years he lived in a wheelchair as a quadriplegic. But as he grew as a Christian, even in the midst of a hard circumstance. And in the later years of his life, the resurrection meant more and more and more to him and gave him courage to face hard circumstances. For to the believer, Christ's resurrection literally means life to life. Life to life. A future brought into the present. A future hope. The glory of Christ brought into the present. We know, because of the resurrection, that everything the Bible claims about Jesus Christ is true. He was the one without sin, stain, or blemish. He was the one worthy of our worship. His death was sacrificial, the Bible claims, and he gave himself for us. And now we know that through him, through faith in him, we do truly receive forgiveness of sins, the redemption of our bodies, and we will live eternally with him. Remember, friends, this resurrection hope we have is a resurrection hope of a new body. Paul wrote to the Philippians and he says, well, one day one day we will receive a body like his glorious body. It's a resurrection hope, and he's telling them today where they were living right then and right now in the midst of struggles, telling them this, bringing this good news that they would be encouraged regarding this future hope being brought into the present. Through faith in a risen Christ, your future is infinitely more beautiful than anything the world can give. Everything the world offers, everything in the world, every system is corrupting, every system is decaying, everything on earth is finite. But faith in a risen Christ, through faith in a risen Christ, there is a future that is gain. Thinking of that verse again, 2 Corinthians 4:17, for we know that our light and momentary troubles are working for us, achieving for us. Imagine this. Some of you probably trade in the stock market, or you trade, you work at making money, and you trade these things, things of value, and you say, this valuable thing that I trade will yield me return. But the Bible says in God's economy that even troubles for those who are in Christ with a resurrection hope, those who have troubles, discouragement, depressions, divorce, pain of any kind, disabilities, anxiety. Paul writes that because of this resurrection hope we have, even these things which the whole world would say it's bad, bad things through faith yield a return. A return, as Paul says, are achieving for us, returning to us a glory that far outweighs them all. The world scraps junk. The world takes bad things and sloughs it off and gets rid of it. God says, because of a resurrection hope, there is a return of glory that far outweighs them all. The worth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, of the resurrected Christ, is infinitely more valuable than anything the world can give. The resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that he destroyed the devil's work and released all who he saved from slavery to sin and slavery to death, fear of death. He destroyed the power and permanency of decay, corrupted effects of the fall, of disease, of disability, of demons, psychosis, poverty, greed, deceitfulness, depression, loneliness, and anxiety. These maladies that I just mentioned resulting from sin can only taunt us in this life. It's only in this life that they can stay. Only in this life can they nip. But there is a resurrection coming for all who believe. What if you have to live today with the knowledge of bad news or pain, and you live with this constant awareness of a tragedy, of a tribulation of some sort? Do you have a risen Savior who lives to give you a future? Do you have such a hope as Jesus? Tim Keller, a pastor in New York City, relates Johnny Erickson Tada's story. And as she was working through her accident, and at 17 she became a quadriplegic, she worked through it by going to church. The problem, Tim Keller writes, with being in a wheelchair, she found, was that at a certain point in her church's liturgy every Sunday, the priest called everyone to kneel, which drove home to her the fact that she was stuck in a wheelchair. Once, she was at a convention in which the speaker urged people to get down on their knees and pray. Everyone did except Johnny. With everyone kneeling, Johnny writes, I certainly stood out, and I couldn't stop the tears, but it wasn't because of self-pity. Keller writes, she was crying because the sight of hundreds of people on their knees before God was so beautiful, a picture of heaven. And then she continued weeping at another thought. She writes, sitting there, I was reminded that in heaven, I will be free to jump, free to dance, free to kick and do aerobics. And sometime before the guests are called to the banquet table at the wedding feast of the Lamb, the first thing I plan to do on resurrected legs is to drop on grateful, glorified knees. I will quietly kneel at the feet of Jesus. Then she adds, I, with shriveled, bent fingers, atrophied muscles, gnarled knees, and no feeling from the shoulders down, will one day have a new body, light, bright, and clothed in righteousness, powerful and dazzling. Can you imagine the hope that the resurrection gives someone who is spinal cord injured like me? Do you realize what Johnny Erickson Tada has lived is an ordinary life in a fallen world, in a sense that these tragedies are common to all. But through the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is a resurrection hope of the future that brings strength and grace and courage to the present. And perhaps right now, today, you are empty, you are hurting, you are depressed, you're anxious, and you say, I gotta have hope. What about me? What about me? Believe on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Trust in a resurrected Christ, and this resurrection hope of the future will be brought into the present, and there will be a change. The resurrection changes everything. It is the work of the Holy Spirit, and it is a work produced of faith, according to the grace of God. Oh, friend, trust in Jesus Christ today. Trust in Him for true hope, true joy, true purpose. Hope in a risen Christ who suffered the death of death for you and was raised that you too would live a new life. Fall on Jesus, the resurrected Christ. Fall on Him now with all your weight, with all your pain. And may He bring a resurrection hope to you today that will change everything. Grace and peace to you.